Thank you very much. I'm going to talk about root tree decomposition with material constraints and the infinitesimal digital frameworks with boundary. So this joint work is now Kato. So the aim of this study is to generalize Nash-Williams tree decomposition theorem, which has a nice connection to rigidity theory, and applies generalized statement to get a new state characterization for infinitesimal rigidity. So in this talk, I will first review Nash-Williams tree decomposition theorem and its connection to rigidity theory. And then I will give you our new theorem on root tree decomposition with moderate constraints, which is a proper extension of Nash-Williams theorem. And then I will apply the theorem to get a proper extension of Raman theorem and Times theorem for band joint frameworks and body and bar frameworks. And if we have a time, we will discuss also the algorithmic issue. So let's start. So Nash-Williams theorem, tree decomposition theorem is one of the fundamental results in graph theory, which states that an undirect graph can be decomposed into KH disjoint spanning trees if and only if the following relations between the number of edge and vertices are satisfied. So the total number of edge is equal to K times number of the vertices minus K, and for any vertex subset, the set of edges induced by X, the number of the set of the edge induced by X is at most K times X minus K. So the first condition is very trivial because each spanning tree consists of V minus 1 edges. So we need definitely this condition. And the second condition is the necessity of the second condition is also easy because suppose we have a decomposition into spanning trees. So here we have a decomposition into three spanning trees and take any subset of X. And if we restrict to the E of X, then each color forms a forest, which means that we have this inequality. But so the sufficiency is non-trivial. And as a dual form, Tutt and Nash-Williams independently proves that an undirect graph contains KH disjoint spanning trees if and only if following this condition is satisfied for any partition of V. So here, delta denotes the number of the edge connecting between the distinct components in a partition. So this basically says that no matter how we contract the vertices, we have the graph must satisfy the trivial conditions. So the necessity is also easy, but the sufficiency is non-trivial. And let's take a look at the connection to rigidity theory. So let's consider bound joint frameworks. So we denote the bound joint framework as a pair of a graph and the specification of the joint configuration. Then the celebrated Raman theorem characterizes the generic minimal rigidity in terms of the counting condition, which is very similar to the Nash-Williams condition for 2-3 decomposition. And indeed, Lechki observes equivalent formulation in terms of the 2-3 decompositions. So duplicating any edge, the resulting graph can be partitioned into two edge distance spanning trees. So Robert and Emily maybe says that adding any edge. And Krapp also observes another equivalent characterization in terms of the 3D compositions. So G can be decomposed into three trees, such that each vertex is spanned by exactly two of them, and any non-trivial subtrees supports the same vertex subset. So they are both so direct consequence of the Nash-Williams theorem, but the concepts are very important and very useful for studying the infinitesimal rigidity. And more direct connection was observed by Tay for characterizing the body bar frameworks. So body bar framework is a structure consisting of rigid bodies connected by bars. So this is a two-dimensional case, and this is a three-dimensional case. And its underlying graph is defined as by associating each vertex with each body and each edge with each bar. So in this example, this is the underlying graph. So this vertex is corresponding to this body, and this one is corresponding to this one. And if there are two bars between them, then we have two edges between. And so as in the case of the bar and joint framework, we denote the body bar framework as a pair of the underlying graph and the specification of the bar configuration. Okay. Then Tai shows that a d-dimensional body bar framework is rigid for a generic bar configuration if and only if the underlying graph contains d plus 1, 2 to 2 edge disjoint spanning trees. And later, Whiteley came up with a very short proof based on the tree decomposition. And actually, this result motivated us to try to get a new decomposition theorem. So we believe that a good decomposition theorem implies something good, rigidity theorem. So now I'm going to show our decomposition theorem. So in the field of the combinatorial optimization, there's a notion of the k-rooted edge connected orientability, which asks whether a graph admits an orientation so that there are k-edge disjoint paths from the special node to other nodes. And by the Nash-Williams theorem and the Edmonds branching theorem, this notion is actually equivalent to the packing of k-edge disjoint spanning tree. And in particular, so the decomposition into k-edge disjoint spanning tree show you the how to send k commodity from the root to other parties without confliction. And so motivated by this fact, we define a root tree. So suppose we have a graph and some special node R, and we define a root tree, R root tree, as a subgraph, which is a tree and contains the special node R. And we consider the situation where we are given several special nodes, special roots, special sign of roots, and we want to find the decomposition into root trees. So more formally, we are given a multiset of vertices from R1 through RT, and we want to find the decomposition into edge disjoint subgraphs such that TI is an RI rooted tree. Okay. But we further introduce a matroid constraint. So we are given a graph and multiset of vertices, as in the previous slide, but we have also a matroid on the set of roots, and a basic root decomposition is defined as a decomposition into root trees But we have additional condition here. So for each vertex, there are some rootedly fixed span V. And consider the set of roots, fixed spans V, then such set must form a space of the matroid. So namely, for each vertex V, the set of roots linked to V must be a base of the matroid. So let's see the example. So this example for graphic matroid. So we are given graph and set of roots like this. And also we have a graph representing the matroid M. So this so each edge has is associated with a root. And this is a basic root decomposition I just defined. So the decomposition into six rooted trees. And consider any vertex. So for example, this vertex. So this vertex is spanned by T1, T3, and T4. Then the corresponding roots, R1, R3, R4, form the spanning tree in this graph. Okay? And for example, if we consider this vertex, then this one is spanned by this one, this one, this one, and the corresponding roots form the spanning tree here. So you might think this is very artificial problem, but if we consider the linear matroid, for example, then the problem sounds very reasonable, because so in this case, each root has some vector, and you are asked to send vectors so that each vertex receives enough information to figure out the four vector space. And the basic root decomposition show you the how to send without confliction. So in this case, this vertex receives a vector from R1 and R3 and R4 to figure out the whole space. Okay. And our main theorem is the following, a good characterization of a basic root tree decomposition. So we are given an Andrick graph and mass set of vertices and matroid on the root set of rank K with rank function Rm. Then G admits a basic root decomposition if and only if the following condition is satisfied. And the first condition says that number of edges plus the number of roots is equal to K times the number of vertices. And as in the case of Nash Williams theorem, for any vertex subset, we have some counting condition. So the difference is just this term and this term. And this one is number of roots involved in X. So we are just taking care of the difference between the number of the roots and its rank. And notice that if M is a free matroid, then this decomposition is equal to the decomposition into K spanning trees. So, and this condition is exactly same as the Nash-Williams condition, because this term and this term is equal to equal, and this is equal to K. And we have a natural dual form. G contains a subgraph which admits a root tree decomposition such that for each vertex, the set of roots linked to V is a spanning set of the matroid if and only if the some modified condition is satisfied. Okay, so let's consider the look at the application to rigidity theory. So we consider frameworks with boundary. So, namely, a framework has a connection with ground or walls. So, typically in the engineering context, we encounter the slider constraint or a pinning constraint. And actually, the boundary condition is a very classical concept, even in the mathematical study. And if the boundary is assumed to be generic, then everything is fine. For example, for two-dimensional bound joint framework, Raman's theorem implies, so based on Raman's theorem, we can get any theorem on this type of frameworks. But actually, in most applications, the boundary is not generic at all. So, and what we proved is that the infinitesimal rigidity can be actually characterized by simple counting condition, even though the boundary is not assumed to be generic. So let's first consider body bar framework with bar boundary. So we have body bar framework in the usual sense. But several bodies are connected by a fixed external environment by bar. Okay. And so the idea is that we replace each external bar constraint with a sign of root to capture the underlying graph, underlying combinatorial structure. So the underlying combinatorial structure is represented by a pair of a graph and a multiset of bodies, and geometric information is represented by internal bar configuration B and boundary bar configuration B0, which is a map from a root to a line segment. Okay. Then we have this theorem. For any G and R and any B0, there is B such that the corresponding framework is infinitesimally minimally rigid if and only if the G admits a basic root decomposition with respect to the linear matroid on the set of roots represented by the Pulitzer coordinate of the corresponding boundary bar. Okay? And this condition is equivalent to the counting conditions by our decomposition theorem. So the point is that, so this is any boundary. So I don't assume the genericity on the boundary condition. Okay? So the proof is quite easy, actually. And here is a sketch of proof. So the necessity is that's a so-called Maxwell type condition. So you can prove the necessity by following the general strategy. And sufficiency is basically the same as the Fitness proof for the tight theorem. So because G admits a basic root to 3 decomposition, so we have some decomposition and define a bar configuration such that for each edge belonging to the root 3 Ti, we define the position of E to be the position of the corresponding root. Then the framework becomes rigid, infinitesimal rigid. And so, for the formal proof, we need to define the rigidity matrix, but I have enough time, but intuitively, this is because that So this decomposition indicates how each body is constrained, actually, from the external environment. And each body receives a d plus 1 choose 2 independent constraints from the external environment. So there's no motion, intuitively. And you can implement this intuition in the proof. So the next application is a body bar framework with pin boundary. So as in the previous case, so the pinning is replaced by some special sign of root. Then a body bar framework with pin boundary is defined as a top of G, a graph G, and multi-set of vertices R, and internal bar configuration V, and pin boundary configuration. Okay. But as you notice easily, pinning constraint can be replaced by a bar constraint, bar external constraints through a pinning point. So actually, we can reduce to the case of with a bar boundary. And combining the characterization for frameworks with bar boundary and the dual form of the decomposition theorem, we get the theorem for body bar frameworks with pin boundary for any pinning conditions. Okay. This one. And also, we can get the similar statement for bar joint frameworks with bar boundary. So the definition is the same. So we replace each bar boundary by some special sign of root. And we have the theorem for the bar boundary case. But we have some additional assumption, unfortunately. So let G and R and B0 as above. So B0 is a boundary configuration. Suppose the set of boundary, the set of boundary lines is in general position, that is no three lines pass through a point. Then there is a joint configuration such that the framework is infinitesimally minimally rigid if and only if the condition, counting condition, natural counting condition is satisfied. And the proof is is based on the Tay's technique for proving the Raman theorem based on the Klapper's tree decomposition theorem. And also we have the other result for two-dimensional bar joint framework. Bar joint framework with pin boundary. So for any pinning conditions, we can actually characterize rigidity. But interestingly, this was already observed by Sabatius, Shea, and Whiteley. And proof is actually not so difficult. And also, we have a bar joint framework with slider boundary. So even though the direction of sliders are predetermined and degenerated, the infinitesimal rigidity can be characterized. And interestingly, we have seen some technique to convert the slider constraint to bar constraint in the morning. So if we have the slider, then we can, when talking about the infinitesimal rigidity, each slider constraint can be replaced to the bar constraint to the direction orthogonal to the slider. But if the several sliders have same direction, then they intersect at the point at infinity. So basically, we can replace these frameworks to the pin-band joint framework with pin boundary where pinning points are located at infinity. And we can apply this theorem to get a simple counting condition. But in this case, the points are assumed to be generic. Okay. And we are talking only about the infinitesimal rigidity. So let me briefly show some algorithmic issue. So we have the two counting conditions. And the first condition is trivial to check. And so let's consider that how to check the second condition. And this is written in terms of the vertex subset. But equivalently, we can describe the condition in terms of the edge subset and root subset in this way. So this is condition is actually equivalent to this condition. And this right-hand hand side defines the so-called sum modular functions on the set of edges and the set of the roots. So following some general story, actually the problem can be reduced to the sum modular function minimization problem, and you can solve the we can check the sheets condition in polynomial time, but of course we have a much more nicer algorithm. So our algorithm is based on the IMAIS technique for testing the so-called the KL sparsity conditions. So this condition, and he shows that how to reduce the problem, of checking the sparsity condition to the maximum matching problem in bipartite graphs. So suppose we have a graph like this. Suppose we want to check the sparsity for this graph, then the auxiliary bipartite graph is defined in this way. In the left hand side, the vertex subset is defined as edge set in the original graph, and the right class is k copies of the vertex set in the original graph, and they are incident if and only if the two vertices are adjacent if and only if the corresponding elements are incident in the original graph. Then by default theorem, you can easily check that there is a matching covering the left-hand side if and only if this counting condition is satisfied, so without the truncated factor. So the first checks this condition, and in the second step, checks the truncated conditions for each edge subset containing E. And this can be done by duplicating the element in the left side. And so in our case, we deduce the problem to so-called independent matching problem instead of the matching. So in the independent matching problem, we are given a bipartite graph and the matroid in the left-hand side and right-hand side. So may be different. And matching is called independent if and only if the endpoint is independent in each side. And actually, the maximum independent matching problem is equivalent to the maximum common independent set problem. You can check easily, actually. So let's consider checking the second condition. So suppose we have a graph, then we define the auxiliary bipartite graph. So in the left-hand side, we have an edge set and also the root set here. And in the right-hand side, we have the k copies of vertices and also the k copy of the root. And we define the matter in the left hand side as a free matroid, and in the right hand side we define the free matroid, the direct sum of the free matroid and the given matroid n. Then you can prove that by the so-called Radl's theorem, the counting condition is satisfied if and only if there's a independent matching covering the left hand side. And as by the Imai's technique, we can truncate, we can cope with the truncated counting conditions, and applying the matroid intersection algorithms, we get some nice low complexity for checking the counting condition. So this is it. So conclusions. A good decomposition implies a good rigidity theorem. And we have several questions. In particular, in the combinatorial part, actually the connection to the matroid union theorem is very unclear. I show that the checking the counting condition can be deduced to the matroid intersection, but the decomposition, I'm not sure the connection between the decomposability and the matroid union theorem. And maybe there might be some further extensions. And for the rigidity part, so maybe we can drop the assumption on the bar joint framework with bar boundary. And here we only discuss about infinitesimal rigidity, but of course, much important topic is rigidity. So if we can find some extension to rigidity, it must be very fun. So that's it. Thank you very much.